I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and we are very happy to welcome back to our studios Reina Del Cid and her band. She was just here a couple years ago, and Tony Lindgren is here. Tony was here last time on guitar as well. And Reina, welcome, and do you want to introduce the rest of your band?
Yeah, thanks for having us. So we've got Tony Lindgren on lead guitar, just like last time. We've got Andrew Foreman on bass and David Robinson playing the mandolin today.
Welcome, Andrew and David. I think your first time in Studio A here? Well, glad to have you. Well, I'm excited to get to the first song here because the sound check was amazing. So, and you have a new album coming out on October 4th, and so we'll be talking a little bit about that. But what do you want to start with here?
This is a song called Million Girls.
One, two, three, four.
That is Reina Del Cid live from Studio A and Million Girls, did you say?
Million Girls.
And yeah. That one from the new album?
That's actually from our last album.
Oh, from your last album.
Yep.
Okay. Yep, I should have known that. All right. But you are working, you do have a new one that is in the works. And last time you were here was a couple of years ago. And since then, it sounds like you've been hitting the road pretty hard.
Yeah, basically all of 2019 so far, it's been Europe and then West Coast, East Coast, the South, Canada. back to Europe, and now we're finally back in Minnesota for a while, and we're really stoked to be home and to release the new album here. So
nice. So, yeah. So with all that time on the road, when did you write the album?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Or are you a person that can write on the road?
Well, we try to. Like, Tony and I especially like to kind of jam around campfires whenever we're kind of out on the road and you know, whenever we get a spare second. But a lot of it is just kind of packed into the tiny amount of time that you do find yourself at home. And I try to take some writing retreats every now and then, go up to the Northwoods or wherever it might be, and just block off some time for that. But
and how do you approach that when you do that?
You know, it's just kind of disconnecting from the internet and in social media. We have a video series where we post a video to YouTube every Sunday morning, so that needs to come out every week. But you try to get ahead of them a little bit and pile up some songs, and you know, kind of let it go on autopilot to kind of get yourself a writing space.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's right. We were talking about that last time you were here, and you are still doing the Sunday morning
thing. Yeah, we are. It's been a couple of years now, and that's really great. Kind of grown, and it's a really nice community of people that like to tune in every Sunday. So we're fortunate to have that.
That's really nice. Well, and I think the last time you were here, you were just kind of pulling together a band to tour with. Does that sound right?
Well, actually, most of this year has just been me and Tony on the road, just
okay.
The two of us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some wonderful players that we play with when we're kind of around here and mm-hmm. in the U.S. So
okay,
yep.
So tell me about, so you fit Europe in on this one. I know you had gone there once before last time you were here. So tell me about this experience.
Well, we were in Europe twice this year. Mm-hmm. The first time was in March, just kind of all around the continent doing shows. We really like playing in Europe because the crowds tend to be really, I don't know, just really appreciative of the arts. And I think part of it is just seeing us in the Sunday morning videos, and then the fact that we've come all the way across the pond to play a show. People get really excited, you know, and they've been following. So it's just a really nice interaction with the European crowd. So we really like to go over there. And we're probably going to keep going over there quite a bit going forward. So,
well, that's really cool. So people over there are following along on your Sunday morning songs.
They are, yeah.
That is really amazing.
Yeah, in a weird way, I think we reach more international people than we do people around here, I think, on those. So
wow. That's funny. And your last album, we had talked about a little bit, kind of had a through line, you know, it sort of had a theme to it. How about this new one? Is that turning out that way too, or is it different?
So this new album is an acoustic album. It's the first time we've done like the acoustic thing with strings and everything. And the reason for that was that most of the Sunday morning videos that we're posting every week are acoustic. And I was kind of thinking about, it'd be nice to have an album that reflected kind of what we're doing now every week, you know, doing these acoustic jams that feel really off the cuff. And so rather than doing another, you know, sort of electric full band album, I thought it'd be cool to sort of mirror the Sunday morning videos a little bit more.
Well, I was going to say, like, when you with this lineup in here, it was sounding a little bit more Americana,
grassy,
a little bit more.
Yeah. So that's kind of the direction of the new album. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, to reflect the sort of Sunday morning community that we've built.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that reflect the kind of shows that you're doing now, or is it kind of a mixture of?
It's a mixture. Mm-hmm. We still like to play with, you know, the plugged in, you know, Tony rocks a Stratocaster, so we like to do that too. But I think it's nice to kind of blend in some more of the acoustic material.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about that song that you just played. Where did that one? Oh no, that was from the previous album. So
yep.
we'll talk about stuff from the new album.
Yeah. Yeah, the next one that we're gonna play is off the new album, and it's definitely the saddest song off the new album.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Hold Me Before I'm Gone Forever, and it's one that we've had out on YouTube for a long time, and I've always wanted to record it. And what better place than like the acoustic album, because mm-hmm. it's a very acoustic stripped down song.
Mm-hmm.
So
was it by popular demand, people that enjoyed your video of it?
Yeah.
Please some people, record this.
Yeah, some people wanted the, mm-hmm. to take it home, so we mm-hmm. figured we'd put it on the new album.
All right, well, let's hear that one.
Sun, I wish we could make that trip together, but that old train is boarding one by one. My dear, we have traveled far together, climbed the mountain, swum the sea. Still there are so many places calling us. don't you see the rest for me? And hold me before I'm gone forever, 'cause it's all that we can do. I wish we could make that trip together, but I'll go on ahead and wait for you. Content to hold your hand. The mystery of the dark, it never bothered me, 'cause your love is all I need to understand. And hold me before I'm gone forever, 'cause it's all that we can do. I wish we could make that trip together, but I'll go on ahead and wait for you. I wish we could make that trip together, but I'll be waiting somewhere, dear, for you.
That is Reina Del Cid live from Studio A. Wow, that is just a lovely song.
Thank you.
Was there anything in particular that inspired that one?
You know, I initially wouldn't have said that there was, but I look back on it now, and I wrote this song only a couple months before my grandpa passed away. And I think back on it, and I think maybe I was kind of, I think in the back of my mind I was inspired by, you know, my grandpa, he was in the nursing home at the time, and my grandma would visit him every single day and just kind of hold his hand. And I think probably that, in the end, that ended up being what made me write the song.
Yeah, that's very sweet. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I think a lot of people can probably relate to that.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. So, when you were writing for the album, were you did you plan, I'm going to do the acoustic thing, and you were thinking about the songs that way from the start?
Yeah, and actually we kind of had to reimagine some of the songs that we had already kind of started arranging as a electric band, and I wanted them to go on this album, so we kind of went back and to the drawing board and kind of stripped them down a little bit more and made them kind of fit into the acoustic sort of aesthetic of the album. So it's been really fun kind of playing around with timbres, acoustic timbres for this one.
Well, yeah, that seems like a fun challenge because you kind of have to think about the song differently.
Yeah, the parts are, they sing so differently, you know, and they work together so differently. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you envision actually doing electric versions at some point too? Or
we're going to be doing that a little bit on the next tour, the release tour that we're doing in November. It's going out to the East Coast in Canada, and we're going to bring kind of both electric and acoustic vibes to it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to have that flexibility.
Yeah.
Very cool. And so I know of another song, so because I don't have a copy of the album yet, so I don't know that much about it other than I know there was a song called Bernadette that was about a ghost.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a strange song in a way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song about a ghost, like a 19th century Victorian ghost that comes and just haunts the singer's house, you know, and then the person who's singing the song, the narrator, gets really used to Bernadette's presence, and when the ghost finally leaves, is kind of almost lonely and misses the ghost. But
where did that come from?
Just
your imagination?
Looking back on that one, I have no idea where that came from. It came actually out of procrastination, because it wasn't going to be on the new album, and I was supposed to be working on the harmonies for the album. That was my homework, and I was home trying to figure out the harmonies, and instead of doing that, this song just started popping into my head, and I just kind of stole away the moments and wrote the song instead of doing what I was supposed to be working on. But sometimes the best things come out of procrastination moments when you're not supposed to be working on them. So
songwriting as procrastination.
Exactly.
Usually it's the other way around, where you're supposed to be writing the song and you find something that's more you know, less challenging to do or
right,
something.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how has songwriting changed for you as you've been doing it more through the years? Do you have a process for it or?
Yeah, I would say the biggest change is that it's become a lot more collaborative. So it used to just be very much me and my guitar, and that would, and very few things would change out of the song. And now it's I've surrounded myself with such amazing world-class musicians that it would be a shame to not, you know, use their expertise and take hints from them. And Tony's been a big part of that. Andrew's been playing with me for a long time on the bass and has really added so much to the stuff. And now bringing in people like David here on mandolin and banjo, it takes a completely different background. He's got a background in very classic bluegrass, traditional bluegrass. So he has it's a totally different, you know, perspective. And it's really nice to kind of lean on these people, and they really enrich the songs and mm-hmm. make them a lot better.
Well, and you said they don't always get to come on tour with you, but you bring them around Minnesota. Does that work
yep.
out pretty
yep.
well?
Yeah, and actually this next tour is going to be a 6-piece version of our band, so it'll be a lot of people. But it's been a lot of just duo stuff for me and Tony, because it's so expensive to bring the whole band over to Europe. So we've been kind of paving the way as a duo, and hopefully eventually we'll be able to bring everybody mm-hmm. across the pond. So
nice.
Yeah.
And where did you record the album?
We did it with Matt Patrick at the library in Northeast. He's an incredible songwriter himself and a great engineer, and I love his space. It's all books for days, you know, just all around the walls.
Oh yeah, you were an English major.
Yes.
And your last album had a song that was about Virginia Woolf, or
yes.
inspired by
yeah,
Virginia
good
Woolf.
Memory. Yeah, good.
Well, to be honest, I cheat and I listen to the last session yeah. before to make sure that, you know, I know what I'm talking about.
Totally. Yeah. No, I'm a huge nerd, mm-hmm. you know, library nerd. So that was the perfect studio, because it's called the library, and you just are staring at the best books mm-hmm. the whole time while you're recording. So,
and is that still a place that you find inspiration for your songwriting?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have a lot of time to read on the road?
I bring books with me, and I do try to. I can read on the airplane and stuff, but once we're over there, it's kind of a hustle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I try to keep up with the reading. It's mm-hmm. important to me. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to get some recommendations after.
Yeah,
after we're off the
air. Let's have a powwow about books.
I always need a good list of things to read. Wonderful. And so the album you worked with, had you worked with him before, and had you recorded there before?
No, but almost everybody I know has had something positive to say about Matt at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been on my list to work with him at some point, and I'm so glad that we were able to do it. He really had all these visions for these songs that I never would have imagined, and he's turned them into something really cool. So
nice.
Yeah.
And is that easy for you? Like, because sometimes I think that, you know, you take so much ownership of your work that sometimes it can be hard to hear somebody say, you got to change that. Is there ever anything that you're kind of like, but I'm really attached to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a huge thing. I've never worked with a producer before. This was the first album we brought in Matt as a producer. And it was really interesting. There were a couple uncomfortable moments where I had to step back and say, like, no, let's just try it his way. And then you do it. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But in the end, it's really nice to just have somebody else contributing and you know, having ideas that just you wouldn't have had on your own. So
yeah, and that can spark new things for you, I imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he's such a gentle soul. It's like it's not going to be a violent, you know, disruption of any song or anything like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's hear another one. What do you want to finish up with here?
So because we've got David with us, and I mentioned he comes from a traditional bluegrass background, we're going to mix in some bluegrass stuff at the show tonight at Prove. And so we thought we'd play an old bluegrass tune. This is called Old Home Place.
It's been 10 long years since I left my home in the harbor where I was born. The cool farm nets make the wood smoke rise, and the fox hunter blows his horn. I fell in love with a girl from the town, and I thought she would be true. I ran away to Charlottesville to work in a
That's Raina Dilsad live from Studio A, and a lovely bluegrass influenced tune there. And is that a type of music that you listen to, you know, earlier in your life, or is that newer to you?
Yeah, so when I was really young, my dad played bluegrass all the time around the house.
Oh, okay.
And then I kind of forgot about it, but I kind of left it behind for a long time until I met up with Tony. And Tony was in a bluegrass band for many years when she was growing up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of reintroduced me to bluegrass, and especially like newgrass, the new stuff kind of coming out, Chris Thiele and stuff like that. And got really into it again, and we've formed a bluegrass side project band called No Tent. And David plays with us in No Tent all the time. So,
oh, nice.
It's been a really cool rediscovery of that kind of music.
And what kind of songs do you play in that band?
That song, and then many other songs like it. Mountain Dew is an old moonshine song. And we try to, then we also take like other things like Bill Withers, you know, Ain't No Sunshine. We bluegrassify it a little bit and stuff like that.
Nice.
So, not all traditional. But.
Well, that's really fun.
Yeah.
And that must kind of gives you another area to explore and maybe bring back to this project,
exactly.
It sounds like.
Yep.
Wow, very cool. So you have your album coming out on October 4th. It's called Morse Code. What's the significance of the title there?
That's one of the songs on the album, Morse Code. And it's a song that I recorded with my friend Josh Turner, who lives out in Brooklyn. And he's another person actually that's really active on YouTube, just like we are with our Sunday morning videos. He's got a similar thing. And we found each other through YouTube that way, and we decided to work on a song together. And we recorded a video of my song Morse Code in his Brooklyn flat, and it ended up being really cool. And so we figured we should put it on a new album. And I just feel like that song kind of epitomizes the whole trying to do the acoustic songs, kind of like similar to what we're doing in the Sunday morning videos. So it seemed like a good title for the album.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And are there any other people on the album other than...
Yeah, it's a ton of people around Minneapolis. So most of our usual players, and then a few people like Matt Patrick, the producer, sat in on a couple tunes, and a lot of people we haven't played with before. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, really excited to hear it. Looking forward
to
that.
I've got a copy for you, too. So.
Hooray! All right. Well, that's good to know. So, again, that officially comes out on October 4th. Well, thank you so much. This was really, really delightful, Raina.
Yeah, thanks for having us back.
Yeah, no problem. That is Raina Dilsad and her band. And, again, they're playing tonight at Prove Gallery in Duluth, and that show starts at 8 o'clock. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.